Peace be with all of you. Last week, we read about the selection of seven deacons. And among the seven, we saw one who is greatly filled with the Holy Spirit and greatly anointed. And so in today's passage, we see that Stephen, he was accused. And that was because of a ploy. And so from the spiritual perspective, that came from the evil one. So why was Stephen accused? So if you look at the whole background, you will understand that he was preaching the true gospel and exalting Christ. And when he revealed God's word, then his opponents twisted his words. Such that they used the twisted words of his to accuse him. So we know that Stephen was not saying something false or fake, but he was speaking true words that God was doing great things through Christ. And so those people who could not refute him then slander him. And so as we do the work of God, we will be persecuted because of the truthfulness, the absoluteness, and the exclusivity of Christ. It's not what something people of the world can accept. And Jesus, he is the only Savior, and indeed men need to repent and turn to God. So do sinners like to hear such message? Do people who are humanistic like to hear this kind of message? Do people who are full of the coexistence ideology, will they like to hear this kind of message? All this will provoke the kings of the earth. And so people will be provoked to persecute the preachers of this gospel. So, when Stephen debated with the Jewish academics or scholars, from debate it became slander, from slander it became accusation, and from accusation it turned into killing. And so that is the path of martyrs. And in the whole course of church history, we saw that the martyrdom of Stephen was repeated in history because thousands and thousands of believers, because of their testimony for Christ, they have been arrested, threatened, oppressed, burned, and crucified. And so we saw all these things in church history, but we have to ask, when all these things happen, where is God? God has never left us. God is with those who are being oppressed. God is with the hearts of men. God is with their mouth. Is present with their mouth. So today, we read about Stephen speaking with the Holy Spirit and with wisdom, and so people cannot oppose him. So the words from his mouth is as if the sword of the Holy Spirit, and no one can oppose. And the Bible also says, when the Jewish leaders persecuted him, his face was like the face of an angel. And the light of the angel, the glory of the angel, he had this appearance of peace. So you must know that no matter what kind of tribulation Christians went through, 2 things, your heart and your mouth will be guarded. Because your heart will have the peace that comes from God's presence. And then your mouth represents your beliefs. And so when God is with you, your belief and the message you preach will surely be passed on. So your heart and your mouth, the message of your heart and your mouth will be preached to all nations, all places, all regions. And that is the work that God will accomplish. And so the martyrdom of Stephen led to the gospel being preached out of Jerusalem. So Acts chapter 8, we saw that with the martyrdom of Stephen, the disciples were all scattered, and so the gospel was being spread to Samaria, outside Jerusalem, even to Antioch, even to the regions of the Gentiles. So it's something good, and God's great work cannot be imagined by us. We cannot imagine that through the persecution of such a blessed person, then then the gospel can be preached from a small Jerusalem to the rest of the other regions. So John chapter 12 tells us that if the seed of the wheat is not, the Bible tells us if a seed does not fall to the ground and dies, he will not have the opportunity to grow into a big tree to bless many people. So we have this short-term life and limited life. Although we are persecuted and killed, and there could be martyrs for God, but the contents of his heart and his mouth will continue to be passed on. So from here, we need to understand what is the problems of we Christians, because we often find it hard to sacrifice for God, to take out a bit of money, a bit of time. So how can we witness greater things? How can we understand the message of the book of Acts? So the message of Acts is not just merely an idea. We are not just applauding Stephen. We must ask, why did God give us this message when we are so comfortable and when we are living in a nation of religious freedom? But how can we follow God? No, we are not supposed to stir up matters, but as we are blessed, God will commission us. And when God make our heart blessed, our heart and our mouth must preach the gospel, and our heart must respond to God. So sometimes you feel very good attending church service and listening to the message. If you remain like this for 20-30 years, you just become a very seasoned Christian, and you cannot even lift a finger. You cannot even fork out 1 cent or have a little sacrifice for the gospel. But yet the gospel is so priceless. The whole universe cannot pay for the blood of Christ. And so when this life touch your heart, you realize you only have 70 to 80 years to live. Some people, they only have 10 years to live. So what do you do? So you have this life of being commissioned. So we are not just merely attending a service. Every time when we come to church, we are preparing our heart to submit to God and to respond to Him. And so this is what we need to reflect. Every time when I read the book of Acts, I look at myself. I realize that my life is still very comfortable. A lot of times I live in comfort. Although sometimes it's tough to prepare the message, to preach the gospel, to shepherd. Sometimes I'm being misunderstood. Sometimes I undergo pressure. But in fact, all these are still very simple things. So may God fill His servant with His Spirit so that he can do greater things and see greater things. And that should be our prayer also. So today, we will read about Stephen being accused for the sake of the gospel. So the book of Acts chapter 6, verse 7 was the background. So Acts chapter 6, verse 7, so the word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. So Jewish priests, many of them also believe. And then verse 8, suddenly talk about Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. And before this, Luke, when he mentioned about Stephen, he said that Stephen was a man who was full of faith and filled with the Holy Spirit. So here, it was also mentioned that Stephen was a man full of God's grace and power. So, can you imagine the vibes that this Stephen gave out? So when a person is full of grace and power, you will see his meekness, just like our Jesus Christ. So when we preach the gospel, when we shepherd, we need to be full of grace, but not just grace. Another thing is what? Power. So when we talk about power, it's not the power to fight. The power to be firm and persistent, unwavering, unswerving. So you must preach that gospel. That is his absolute conviction. So he's very firm. So he has this gentleness. He also has the firmness, steadfastness. So some Christians, you saw the Christian is very loving and gentle, but yet he never speak any word that make people uncomfortable or challenge people. So people may like your personality, but your life, your speech, your sermon cannot make people respond. So you cannot remain as being very gentle. But some people, they are full of power, like a fire. So when people are with this person, he will debate this and debate that. But people just don't feel like talking to him anymore. So we cannot really be sure whether that's a kind of a power or it's just fierceness. So gentleness and power must come together on one person. Just like our Lord Jesus Christ. So Stephen, he's preaching, he's serving, he's undergoing persecution, and he reveals the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So read again. Stephen was a man full of God's grace and power, and he also did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. So from here, we know that God did not just use the apostles to do wonders and signs, because we read about God using Peter and John to perform a lot of miracles, but God also used Stephen. So in other words, God's work in the whole early church is not just entirely on the apostles, but God also used like blessed deacons, Stephen, deacons like Stephen, who can preach mightily. So in other words, what God wanted to exhort was not men, but God's word. So sometimes you see, why was it that pastor's prayer will always be answered, but my prayer not answered? Actually, pastor is also a mere human with one nose, two eyes, but God is speaking through his servant. So you must understand that we cannot exhort men, but God is exhorting the word whom his servant preach. So you need to cling on not to the pastor, but you need to cling on to the word of God that was spoken through the mouth of the pastor. So now, through Stephen, God also worked in this way. So even a deacon could also preach the word of God and also reason mightily for the sake of God's word. And so God also worked through him. And verse 9. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia. These men began to argue with Stephen. So four regions, people from four regions were mentioned. They were the Jews from Gentile regions, and then they came to Jerusalem, and they were devout Jews. Maybe some of them were scholars. And also, there is this place called Cilicia. So Paul came from Cilicia's Tarsus. So if you turn to Acts chapter 21, verse 39, when Paul was defending for himself, he said he was a Jew. And then he came from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no ordinary city. So the Bible said all these people came, they were very educated, and they argued with Stephen. But the Bible said that they could not stand up against Stephen. Why? Because verse 10 said, but they could not stand up against his wisdom or the spirit by whom he spoke. So this is very important. So what does this mean? So he spoke with wisdom and the Holy Spirit. And so this means he spoke with wisdom from above. So it's not from what man learned himself. It's not from man's common eloquence. But it came from above by the conviction of the Holy Spirit being put into a person's heart and mouth. So we know that Jesus in Luke, okay, Luke wrote both Acts and Luke. Luke chapter 21, Jesus said, in Luke 21 verse 15, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. So how can human words refute the words from above? So what are these kind of words? So this is a mystery. So if we are only concerned about things of the world, you will not be able to speak God's word. So that's why we who are preachers, we need to quiet ourselves. And before service, we need to quiet ourselves down. You may be busy with a lot of miscellaneous things, but suddenly if you want to preach the word of God, you will not have the right frequency to do that. But you need to face God, to ask God to let you know what to speak. Sometimes we see that Christians like to debate with others. And when we debate, we have human words, and that lacks wisdom. So those people who speak with their impulsivity and flesh, people can trap you very easily. Because when you speak with impulse, sometimes you may get too extreme. So you need to confirm for yourself. So when you speak in your anger, your spouse may not understand you. And then so there's a lot of misunderstanding because people don't get what you mean. So do not get into debate in your anger. Another thing is Christians like to debate with others regarding philosophy and academic stuff. So it sounds like Christianity is a form of religious studies. It's like a module in the university called religion. So it's like a rational exchange. But it's not the influence brought about by life. So the Bible says this, that Stephen spoke with wisdom and the Holy Spirit. So does it come with human philosophy? Yes. Does it come with historic evidences? He also proved, you know, how God has worked through the Old Testament in the forefathers. But more importantly, within this, there's the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when you put all these things together, it makes people speechless. So some people, you may go to the seminary to learn how to preach with what kind of body language, your expression. But yet, the emphasis is not over there. If you truly believe in the truth that you're preaching, and when you believe, you just listen to every word that the Holy Spirit gives you, then you preach what the Holy Spirit tells you, and when you rebuild, you get the wrath of God to rebuild. And when you comfort, you receive love from God to comfort. And all these things come from above, and you speak with wisdom and the Holy Spirit. So people who never preach the gospel, they will find it hard to understand this. You must understand that we need to preach the gospel. If you do not preach the gospel, you only just pray for peace and prosperity. And you just have some emergency prayers in crisis. So Christians, if for 70 to 80 years, if we do not get the anointing from God to testify for God, then it's such a pity, because then we wasted the mouth that God has given us. So the most sacred thing for Christian is we need to put the gospel into our mouth. So even when you rebuke people, it's full of grace and power. It will be different. So Stephen spoke with wisdom and the Holy Spirit. So humans cannot withstand him, because he's preaching by the wisdom and the Holy Spirit. And so verse 11, so when they could not stand against him, then they secretly persuaded some men to say, "We have heard Stephen speak words of blasphemy against God and against Moses." So this is very serious allegation. So he blasphemed against Moses and against God. So why did they mention this? So which words of Stephen did they twist? What do you think? So in Stephen's preaching, he must have mentioned Moses and God. But the core focus of Stephen is Christ. So of course, he may be saying like things like, Christ is above Moses and Jesus is God. So they twisted this to mean that these are words of blasphemy. So these are blasphemous words in the eyes of the Jews. But if you didn't say these two contents, then you are no longer Christianity. So Christianity is not created from human culture, traditions, or religion. But Christianity talk about Christ being surpassing Moses. And so Jesus surpasses Sabbath, the Holy Temple, and human culture. And so Jesus is above all religions of men. And where can you see that? So in the book of Hebrews, we kept reading about this. And so this is the message of only Christ. So message which does not exert only Christ, that is not Christianity. That is not the salvation that God has given men. And that is merely human needs. We need to find a God to give us security, to give us comfort and liberation. So if we only preach like this, then it's no longer gospel. So the gospel in its purest form is most powerful. But yet, it also carries the greatest offense. So, we need to distinguish the gospel. So, when they try to slander Stephen, they will surely seize this kind of words that Stephen spoke. So now, in the internet age, it's also very dangerous. You may speak for 5 minutes, they only extract 2 seconds of it to slander you, and so it's totally another meaning. So humans, we are so deceitful. So verse 11, so they accused him of speaking words of blasphemy. And then, so verse 12, so they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. And so they suddenly seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. So we have to ask a question here. So earlier on we read that they also arrested the apostles. So if you read chapter 5, when the Jewish leaders arrested the apostles, they didn't use violence because they were afraid of being stoned by the people. But why was it that when they arrest Stephen, they were not afraid, but they suddenly just seize him? Because Stephen may not be so popular like the apostles. Because the apostles truly perform a lot of miracles among the people. So even Peter, when he walked past people, people even brought the sick to let Peter's shadow cast upon the sick to that extent. But Stephen may not be like the apostles. So all these Jewish leaders, so they seized the not so popular people. So in other words, the Jewish leaders, they were under the pressure of the masses, and they also do things by watching the responses of the people. And that's the worst form of leaders. Now, if you are a spiritual leader, you do not know how to listen to the voice of God, and you just seek the approval of people, and you just do things by people's expression, then you must understand that the greatest idol within man is what? Is humans. So the idols of humans is human. And humans are created in the image of God, but yet humans are not God. But we do not want to worship the true God, but we want to worship people created in the image of God. So we transform a lot of humans into God. So we must know that we have this tendency to worship humans. So we humans, we really like to be popular, to be supported. So popularity is very important to us. So you ask yourself, this is one temptation and trap that we often fall into. But I must tell you that human popularity or human approval will change very fast. Just like when Jesus was entering Jerusalem, when he was riding on the donkey, everyone cheered him, welcomed him. But later on, when Jesus was arrested, everyone's opinion of him changed. Oh, this person is a liar. Let's crucify him. Crucify him. So in a matter of days, people's opinions just changed so swiftly. So I want to say that humans are easily being stirred. Sometimes you look at certain reports and certain news, then the person will immediately change their views. I'm not saying that humans should not change. We must also have accurate views on certain things. But certain absolute truths that we already understood from the perspective of God, if you do not have that absolute views from God, you'll be easily swayed by the wind. If these things, if certain things concerns your interests, you may swerve. In other words, you are someone without convictions and beliefs. And so the world is full of, if the world is full of people without beliefs, then the world is doomed. So if you are without moral values, if you only want benefits and gains and popularity, which will change. But if you are just contented with all these things, so whoever gives you these kind of things, you'll be softened. Then, if you're like this, at the end of your life, before you're seeing God, you'll be full of fear, because in your eyes, there's no God. In your eyes, you're just doing things for the sake of human benefits. And so when you are going to face the judge of the living and the dead, you know, what God have commanded you, what I have asked you to persevere, did you do that? No, you didn't. Then you will say, my family didn't support me. my children are not supportive, and so you just compromise on matters of the faith. So as we reach the end of our life, when we are about to face the Lord, then only then the Lord became real to us. So sometimes when we read the Bible, we need to reflect upon the things that's happening in our life. So if for our whole life we are seeking the approval of men, then we will come to utter fall. So those of us who are preaching, we are having this kind of temptation. So we must put the focus on God, not men. So as we preach the word of God, we need to commit the outcome to the Lord. Some people will believe. Some people, after hearing the word of God, they may oppose. We need to entrust to God. So whether there are people who believe and who oppose, God will do His own work to advance His gospel. So the apostles had been arrested and freed. But in this chapter, Stephen was being arrested. He was sentenced and he was being stoned to death. So he was martyred. But within all this, there is the great work of God. So verse 12, there's another verse saying that they seized Stephen. So the seize was sudden. In other words, there's no time for him to be prepared. So when he's being accused before the Sanhedrin, he has to only rely on Holy Spirit in how he responded. Now humans have their own ploy, but God had His help. When God filled a person and protect a person's heart, God has His way to work through men. So verse 13, so they produced false witnesses. So the Ten Commandments tell us that we must not give false testimony. So here from testimony, it turned into slander, and then it turned into accusation. So this is the means of sinners. So may we not do such things in our life. Sometimes we need to discern right and wrong in our deeds. So we must ask the Lord in our heart whether it is just and honest to do such a thing. We must not use lies to oppress the weak, because you know they cannot defend themselves, and so you use false witnesses of for your own church, or you give false testimony to gain benefits for your church. Then you have fallen into the trap of the evil one who is in charge of the dark forces. So only the evil one, he will do these kind of things. But on the contrary, the Bible tells us that we need to carry the weapons of light to help others. So responsive reading just now, we read that we must be prim and proper, as if we are acting in light. So you need to be upright and honest, and do not spring from competition, strife, and jealousy. Because if you are in jealousy, you may twist people's words and speak false words. So these are sins that we humans easily will commit, because it implicates our own interests. So all these things also happen in our daily life, even when in your workplace. So we Christians, doesn't mean that you are persecuted, then you don't speak false words. No, it's not just that. In your daily interaction with people, at your workplace, in your home, if it concerns your interests, sometimes you may alter your words, and you may lie to people to gain benefits for yourself. People may not know. People who are not eloquent, maybe they will not be able to defend themselves, but you must know, it is God who controls your heart and your heart. It is God who controls your heart and your mouth. If you disobey God, you will not be well with you. But if an honest person who follows God, gradually people will know that his words count, and his family, his children will trust him. So when we preach the truth, the Jews, when they talk about truth, it's not the truth of God's word. Another meaning is, when the Jews mention truth, it also means what is real. Spirit and truth. Why does the Bible not translate truth into
spirit and truth to worship God? To worship God with spirit and truth.
Why the Bible didn't translate it with the truth into another term? So to the Jews, truth is not just reality, but it's also referring to integrity, truthfulness, honesty. So God's values are all in God's word. And then verse 13. So they produce false witnesses who testify, this fellow never stops speaking against this holy place and against the law. Verse 14. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us. So here, there's two accusations, allegations. First, it said that Stephen spoke against the holy place, and the next, it says that Stephen spoke against the law given by Moses. So he's changing the customs that Moses handed down. So their allegations were based on twisted words. So it's probable that Stephen, in his preaching, he will mention the holy place and the law. So these are the two most sacred things in the eyes of the Jews. So they now twisted the words of Stephen regarding these two things, the holy place and the law. So, as mentioned, we know that Stephen, when he preached, he exhorted Christ. So in Stephen's preaching, he's likely to mention that Christ Jesus will replace the temple. Because Jesus himself said that I will tear down the temple built by human hands, and in 3 days I will raise up a new temple. So when Jesus said that he will tear down the temple that's built by human hands, and in 3 days he will raise up a temple not built by human hands, he's pointing to his own body. And how many bodies does Jesus have? He has two bodies. One is his body of the flesh, the human body. And this human body died, and 3 days later he resurrected, and we all know that. But Jesus also had another body, that is his spiritual body. And our Lord Jesus' spiritual body is the Christ, is the church. So the church will replace the visible building. And so the Jews think that the physical building is very important. So now we are the church. And sometimes the church can be scattered to different regions to preach the word of God. So this new temple must replace the old temple. So this is very likely the message of Stephen. What is greater than this physical building that you are seeing now is Christ. But people who attack Stephen will accuse him of speaking against the holy place. So people of the flesh, they will not understand, so they will distort the word of Stephen, and they will persecute the preachers of spiritual truth. So we can imagine that Stephen's message is with the right emphasis. He combine the Old and the New Testament with Christ at the center. Some people, they just like to talk about the New Testament, about God being love. Some people, they only talk about Old Testament and talking about judgment. But they talk about judgment of God without mercy. So they detach the two and they cannot integrate the two. God is a just and loving God, and he reveals that through Christ. So the first message of Stephen could be Jesus will replace the temple, and second, concerning the law. So it's very probable that Stephen will say that Jesus will fulfill the law. So Jesus himself also mentioned in the Sermon on the Mount that I came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. So Jesus wants to use his life, his sacrifice, to fulfill all the duties of the priest and the duty of the sacrifice also. So he is the great priest with the office of the great priest. And he is also the true meaning of the sacrifice. So how can the blood of animal redeem human sin? Only the blood of the Son of God can become the perfect atonement. So Jesus, by his blood, he became the priest forever. And he continues to be the intercessor between God and man. And Jesus' blood surpasses the blood of animals, and Jesus' blood can cleanse human sin and also can cleanse the corrupted and accused heart of man. So through the blood of Christ, you are forgiven. But some people, they do not know how to hold on to the blood of Christ, but they are still full of fears and accusations every day. They do not know how to bring the blood of Christ before God to find freedom. So Christ is the great priest, and only Christ, the Lamb of God, can do that. So how can Stephen be having blasphemy against the holy place and against the law? In fact, Stephen brought out the greater value of the holy place. Some people, they cannot see the greater things, and they just revolve around little things, and then they just catch you in one phrase, that phrase, and then they just attack you. So such people, they hold on to rituals, traditions, laws, and they start to accuse people. So Stephen is trying to say that Jesus is above all these things. So Stephen, he preached that, but those who attack Stephen accuse him of wanting to speak against the holy place and against the law. So this is totally contrary to Stephen's point. So many people who always accuse preachers, they always take things out of context, or they twisted the meaning. So people who do not know Christ and do not know the essence of the Bible, such people, they are only interested to build their earthly empire for themselves, or they just want to follow some human rituals and religions. They will not understand spiritual mysteries. They will not understand the truth concerning the universe. They will not understand. They may also distort the word of God, and they will also slander the word of God. So although Stephen was being accused, the last verse talk about his appearance. So verse 15, all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. So those who can see this is also blessed. But if you see this and yet didn't repent, you have greater sin. So let's imagine this scene. When everyone looked at Stephen with evil looks to accuse him, but they realized that Stephen had the face of an angel. So the face of an angel means without fear, without worry, without enmity, is the face that emits light. So whose face is like this? Moses' face was like this, because Moses always see God face to face in Mount Sinai, and when he came down, his face was radiant. So the Israelites were full of flesh, they could not withstand that radiance. So I'm not saying that those who sit behind from far from the stage I'm not saying that something is wrong with you, but sometimes the radiance is so big that people cannot be near. So sometimes some people, they are so accused in their heart and they are so of the flesh that they do not want to draw near God. But Stephen had this face that gives out light and radiance, and it's a glorious face. So when he sees God, it's being manifested. That kind of radiance was being manifested. So God's grace of holiness was revealed on Stephen, and so his face became radiant because he understood God's heart and he had God's heart. And this face tells us that Stephen's heart was totally holy, and so if people beside him wanted to frame him and harm him, usually when people treat us like this, our heart will be provoked. But Stephen's heart did not have this kind of retaliation. Just like our Lord Jesus on the cross, he didn't utter a word of curse. He just said that, "Father, forgive them because they do not know what they are doing." So this heart resulted in him having the face of an angel. So that's the most glorious face. So we need to have this kind of face often. But the problem is, it's so difficult to have this kind of face, because a lot of times our face is the face of retaliation. When people complain against us, then we frown. And when people is fierce, then we want to get fierce with them also. Or when people oppress us, our face will become very sorrowful. When we think about our life, many a times we are like this. But Stephen's face, because of God's grace, Stephen was full of peace and thanksgiving and power. And why did he have such a face? Of course, now as he preached the gospel, he was persecuted, and God's peace and grace will sustain him. But we must understand, why did all these things happen to Stephen? Earlier on, we were introduced that Stephen was full of faith and filled with the Holy Spirit, and he always served people with grace and power from God, and so he pleased everyone. And God also always used such a person to preach, to comfort, and to shepherd people. And at this moment, he was persecuted because of preaching the gospel. So God wants to use Stephen to receive great glory. So I don't know whether we have been through such encounters. So in your whole life, if you have such encounter, you are very blessed. But just now I mentioned that we all are living in a very comfortable situation without much challenges. Now, if we never evangelize, or if what we are evangelizing is about the same as the stuff of the world, then people will just congratulate you for having a faith. Then people will say, religions are all good to teach people to do good. So when people hear you talk about the gospel, if it sounds like that, you will not receive the persecution like Stephen. People will not even give you face. Or people will not give you a bad look. But I have to say, for Christianity, we start with God's judgment, and yet God's grace also follows His judgment so that men can repent. So this is a message which can differentiate between the blessed and people who oppose the gospel. To a certain extent, people of the world cannot accept this gospel, but yet this is the gospel which saves people. So we will pause and we'll stop here. So a few weeks later, I will talk about chapter 7. So chapter 7, we will read about Stephen's Stephen's preaching. So, because of Stephen, not just gospel was being shed out of Jerusalem, but in future, a great servant of God, Paul, he went through a lot of struggle because of this event. Maybe through the whole life of Paul, he will remember the martyrdom of Stephen. So, we will not suffer in vain for the sake of the gospel. Let's all pray. Lord, we thank you for using your word to encourage us today. That in such a huge persecution, we saw how Stephen looked to you, how he was guarded by the Lord. This is what you wanted to bring out. You are forever the greatest. You chose people, you used people. And when people went through all kinds of difficulties, you protect people. This is your work. We pray that you receive glory for yourself. And through the message today, we pray that everyone will be challenged in our hearts and will be called to respond to you. Each of us, we have our own difficulties. Each of us, we have our comfort zone. We need to walk out. And God, please help us. May the Holy Spirit speak to us through the word and let us know how you want us to respond to you. Lord, we thank you and we are willing to submit to you. And we pray all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.